But yes, we do have the budget. Let's not be distracted from the main order of the day. What are you going to be doing tonight? Popcorn in front of the telly, watching the Treasurer strut his stuff. Yes, it's budget night when the nation's bank account goes up for grabs, and there's certainly possibly little joy ahead, with Wayne Swan very determined to bring the budget back into, as he describes it, a modest surplus. $1.5 billion is the figure announced today. We could debate the rationale for a surplus until the cows come home, but the government seems hell-bent on finding billions of dollars to turn what is a deficit into a surplus. The prediction is spending cuts for welfare combined with increased taxes on superannuation for very high income earners. To soften the blow, the government has also announced a series of modest spends on dental health and disability, and a lump sum education payment. So how will you be affected? Will you be a winner or a loser after tonight's budget? Dr. Tessa Boyd-Kane is the Deputy CEO of the Australian Council of Social Services, ACOS. Welcome.
Good morning.
And Peter Martin is the economics correspondent for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. And of course, he used to do that wonderful home economics segment in an earlier incarnation of Life Matters. Welcome back, Peter. Have we got you?
Oh, can you hear me?
Oh,
now?
We've got you.
Okay.
And I think we've got Tess, you on mic as well. Look, Peter, let's start with you. The budget is set, it's said, to take aim at both rich and poor. So will middle-income earners be the winners in this budget, if winners, you know, is the right word to use in this conversation?
Probably, so long as they're working. The government's very keen on working Australians. If you're not working, things are nowhere near as good for you. Indeed, the definition of the people who are being looked after has sort of gone up the scale. So it was in the last budget, you remember, the government was seen to crack down on families, various benefits for families earning more than $150,000. Well, they're attacked by the coalition for that. Now the new benchmark will be $300,000 for an individual. So if an individual earns more than $300,000, you're going to get taxed a lot more on your super. But beneath
that,
so
we're not talking high income earners here. We're talking very high income earners.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, Natasha, I haven't seen the details of your contract, but I think it's fair to say that you and I and most of the people listening today have nothing to fear in terms of anything. That's if they're working. Most of the working Australians listening today have nothing to fear from the budget.
Peter, what if they've got kids to educate? The education tax refund will be buried. It's going to be replaced with a lump sum education benefit. What's the thinking behind this change and who's it aimed at?
The education tax refund was a disaster, one of the silliest pieces of policy ever introduced. Indeed, it encouraged dishonesty, it encouraged disrespect for the tax system. The idea, I don't know if you've seen those posters, they say, you may be surprised at what you can claim for. And then there are pictures of things not obviously related to education, such as printer cartridges and internet connections, and even a picture of a pair of scissors. While the government was on one hand saying we want to end the shoebox full of receipts, the government was on the other hand encouraging you to keep your receipts for things. These are people on Family Tax Benefit A, which is about a million or more than a million Australians, to keep receipts and then you can claim back
half. And a lot
the
of
cost.
People didn't claim, did they? But surely the government can't take responsibility for the fact that parents won't pull their receipts together and submit tax claims as they're eligible to do.
Well, the aim was said to be, it never was, that was always a subterfuge, but the aim was said to be to assist educational outcomes, you know, by getting books and so on in the homes. And if you think about it, the families who are most likely to claim are those who have good tax advice, are organised, and already have books in the home. So the families who are least likely to claim were those who probably could have done with some books or so on for the children. They've abolished that, thanks heaven. So they're paying the same amount of money out.
So it'll be a lump sum education payment, $820, I think, if you've got kids in high school, $410 if you've got primary
per
kids.
Per child. And what will be really good for those families, they'll be getting this in June, And then just before in May, there'll be, it's about 100 or 200 per child, depending whether you're in secondary or primary, in carbon compensation. So there are two lump sums coming this month and next month. It'll be a bit like, a family could quite easily find itself with $1,000 or $1,500.
It's another plasma TV. Well, I mean, will this do much to advance the cause of education, Peter Martin?
Because it won't do anything to advance the cause of education.
Wouldn't it be more strategic to give that money directly to schools?
Oh, yes, but it's not about that. It's about boosting the economy, which is weak. It's about stealing people for the increases in electricity prices and so on that are coming with the carbon tax in the middle of the year. It's about, if you like, taking the edge off the cuts to all sorts of things, you know, including public service employment in the budget. It's, if you like, we're giving you a sugar hit now because you things are going to be a bit tight for the rest of the year.
Okie doke, sugar hits. This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. Natasha Mitchell with you, joined by Peter Martin and Dr. Tessa Boyd-Kane, who's Deputy CEO of ACOS. Let's come to you, Tessa. ACOS has certainly welcomed the government's move to increase the tax on super for high income earners, so income earners over $300,000 a year. But you're very concerned about proposed changes to the single parents benefit. What's being proposed here and how many people are likely to be affected by it?
That's right. We heard last week suggestions that the government was looking to drop the level of payment for single parents. Now, that would affect around 100,000 people in Australia, and it would impact for them on around $60 a week in their pockets. The effect of it would be to drop them from the payment level they're currently on to the very low New Start allowance level. So that translates to $35 a day. It means we're saying to sole parents who are struggling to support children through education and also have work obligations, they also have to meet work obligations to claim these payments, that they need to be surviving on less than, on $60 less than they're currently living on.
So once their children turn eight.
That's right.
So the majority of single parents have already sort of crossed over to that, though, haven't they? This is a sort of legacy effect of a policy shift back in 2006.
That's right.
Where 100,000 parents, in a sense, were sort of let off the hook and were allowed to maintain the single parent benefit right up until their kids were 16. Is that right?
That's right. They were protected from these reforms that have been incrementally increased over the past 10 years. The fundamental problem with the reform is that the level of payment for all of those parents is not enough. If you're dropping people to the New Start allowance, you're dropping them to the lowest level of allowance in the OECD. Australia currently pays the lowest level of unemployment benefit in the OECD. It's been criticised by the OECD as a disincentive to work. There's a large coalition of business, trade unions and conservative economists supporting the ACOS call to increase that allowance. So far from seeing more people having to survive on that allowance payment, we're calling for it to be increased to support people through the kinds of costs that they're facing. And sole parents are clearly a very significant part of the group who need to be supported.
The push here, though, is to get single parents back into the workforce when their children are younger, because I guess there's an understanding that the longer you delay getting back into the workforce, the harder it is. So this is a push against welfare dependency, is it not?
Well, no one can argue with the sentiment of encouraging people towards employment, and we need to be supporting them in every way we can. There is nothing in this measure that does that. It is simply a change in payment. It is simply a drop of $60 per week, because sole parents are already required to be engaged in workforce participation measures. They already have obligations on them. None of those change. So nothing in this measure will increase their chances to get work. And I think it's also important to remember the kinds of work that sole parents need. They are often relying on casual work. It's not secure, it's not a route out of poverty, and at the same time we're dropping their basic levels of income support.
Tessa, given the ACOS campaign and given that, you know, even many conservative economists think that New Start is woefully low, takes people below the poverty line in a lot of cases, especially single parents, why hasn't the government acted on this one?
Well, might we ask?
Might we ask?
Look, I mean, ACOS has recognised that the government made a commitment to surplus. The question is in what way you reach that surplus. And so targeting some of the inefficiencies in our tax system is a really good way to do it. Reducing some of the benefits that we pay to the highest income earners, and we were just talking before about some of those measures, very good way to do it. That's not about targeting high earners. It's about ensuring that our tax system is fair and sustainable. So that's an issue that affects all Australians. Those are the ways to create create the kind of wealth that we need in this country. Creating it off the back of people who rely on the lowest incomes is not sustainable. Very far from it. It's also simply not fair.
Peter Martin, ACOS are calling for an increase there of at least $50 a week for Newstart. Is that right, Tessa?
Yeah.
And have you done the sums, Peter? How much would that cost the government?
That's the problem. It's so expensive. It would cost the government $1.2 billion each year. ACOS, in their submission, hid the cost. In their budget submission, they said it would cost $600 million if it was introduced halfway through the financial year. But the government probably saw through that. The problem with the sole parents thing is not the idea. The idea is excellent, that people should be encouraged or indeed required, if they want sole parents benefits, to get work after their children turn eight. It's clear, Noel Pearson says it of Indigenous communities, you know, the best thing that a parent can do for a child is for the child to see the parent go to work each day. The problem is that the benefit they're pushing people onto is so low, $38 a day it is if you've got a child, if you're a single parent, it's so low you can scarcely live on it. Now, and it's not only low, it's getting lower relative to everything else. So what happens is the Newstart increases with the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, 2.5% a year, whereas other benefits, the pension, the disability pension, increase with wages. Now, once the two were a similar level, now they're one's two-thirds of the other. And each increase now, just got the most recent increase. The most recent increase, the pension went up $335 per week. Newstart went up $145. Each increase in the pension is now twice each increase in Newstart. Now, if you move forward far enough, you'll find that by the end of the century, Newstart will be only half of the pension. It's unsustainable, but to fix it up costs a lot of money.
Well, maybe it's money that we have to spend, though. I mean, at a time
we will have to one day.
At a time when it looks like more people will be moving into Newstart from other benefits, the indicators also suggest, as you know very much, Peter, that the economy is slowing. The Reserve Bank has further dropped the cash rate again last week. Predictions of fewer jobs ahead. Does this suggest that some people might be having to survive for longer on barely enough?
Well, it's already the typical time on Newstart is a year. The government talks about it being a temporary benefit. But when unemployment goes up, what happens is that people move into long-term unemployment, and then as things improve, employers take the graduates, take the school leavers, and they don't take the people who are on long-term unemployment. Mm. It's a problem, but it's one of these problems which began a long time ago. A stitch in time would have saved nine later, but now it's very expensive to fix. Now, I have no criticism, actually, with the government for not fixing it now that they're at this time, because they're returning to surplus. I have no criticism of people moving sole parents off the sole parenting benefit when their child turns eight. I do have a criticism of them doing that when they know, the Treasurer has himself conceded, that Newstart is too low. I don't think you should do that until you fix Newstart. And I think what would have been lovely in this budget, what would be lovely in this budget, is at least a commitment to start doing something about Newstart.
Tessa Boyd came from ACOS. I mean, if Peter's right, and $1.2 billion, I think he said, would be needed to cover that increase or cover an increase in Newstart that would be suitable, ACOS has put together its own hit list of savings, potential savings, in a new report, Waste Not, Want Not, which would further target wealthier Australians by my reading of it, and you estimate there would be $8 billion in savings. So what range of areas have you targeted in that report?
So there's a range of measures that we propose. Some of them relate to our health expenditure. We're looking at escalating health costs across the country, but for the Commonwealth budget, it is growing exponentially without the kinds of measures that we need to make that sustainable. So the way the Medicare safety net operates is not a sustainable way of supporting health for the country, for everyone who needs it. And there's, you know, $1 billion there alone. But we've also looked at some of the ways that the tax system treats different levels of earning. And so, for example, the way superannuation is taxed, excuse me, is inequitable because higher earners benefit greater from the tax treatment of superannuation than do lower income earners. So once again, we're not looking to target particular populations. We're looking to ensure that the principles across the tax system are fair and that they provide a sustainable level of revenue for us to spend on the essential social services that we need.
Peter Martin, it appears that the Treasurer Wayne Swan has left no stone unturned in his hunt for savings. Another proposal will be to axe payments if someone's on welfare. They go overseas for more than 6 weeks. I can't imagine that that would generate vast amounts of savings.
No, it's a symbolic measure. And the symbolism is arguably mean. What really gets me, the government has leaked or people understand that the budget will announce that any welfare beneficiary will lose their benefit for the time that they're overseas if they are overseas for more than 6 weeks. That'd be fair enough. And then they exclude one category.
Which is?
Aged pensioners, because we like aged pensioners. After all, we increase their benefits with male wages. Aged pensioners are people we support as well as working Australians. They do not get their pension stopped if they choose to go to Europe for 2 months.
As they may well do.
Yeah, whereas disability pensioners, on the basis of what we know, will. There's a level of meanness in that discrimination. I should just say about ACOS's $8 billion of savings, what's really encouraging about this budget, a battler's budget is how the Treasurer referred to it, I was just out in the courtyard with him earlier, what's really encouraging is the government appears to have adopted many of the measures that ACOS is proposing,
okay,
the Medicare safety net and so on. I think they are in a way... It is a budget which will attack privilege in a lot of areas, as well as being, in my view, unkind to Australians on welfare.
So a bit of a mixed bag there. Tessa Boyd-Cain, can I come to you just finally? There is a plus side, as Peter's pointing out. The government looks set to commit money to public dentistry and to, of course, the National Disability Insurance Scheme, which attracted a lot of attention 2 weeks ago. How do you view those commitments?
Two incredibly important reforms and very welcome decisions if we see the kind of investment that we're hoping for in the budget tonight. The National Disability Insurance Scheme is something that's had a huge amount of work put into it. The big question was the funding, and the Commonwealth government has indicated that it will be leading the funding, and it recognises that it has to provide a very significant share. So fantastic start, and we'll be looking to state and territory governments to add in to that fund. On dental, it is high time that we had a universal national scheme, and what we've seen in the announcement, in addition to this year's measures, is a commitment to work towards a national scheme from next year. Long overdue, very welcome.
Look, you're both going to be talked hoarse by this time tomorrow morning, so all the best for your budget nights. Peter Martin, economics correspondent for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, and Dr. Tessa Boyd-Cain, Deputy CEO of the Australian Council of Social Services. Thank you so much for coming in this morning on Life Matters.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
And Fran Kelly and the Breakfast Team will, of course, have full coverage of tonight's federal budget right there from 6 a.m. tomorrow. Tune into Radio National, and no doubt RN Drive will be getting their hands all over it as well tonight after 6 p.m. And we'll have more on Life Matters tomorrow too. This is indeed Life Matters, and we're about to start growing old outrageously.